I was born on the island of Ireland in the north, so I'm technically British, but my heart is Irish. And the recipe that sits well in my family, that's come down through the centuries actually, is beef, oyster and Guinness pie. Ingredients basically beef, oysters, onion, garlic, carrot, thyme, bay leaf, pepper and of course the Guinness. So historically, to a West Coast family in the 18th century, oysters were a free food collected from the rocks on the Atlantic shoreline. The oysters supplemented what little meat they had. Wild venison, another free food, often replaced the beef. And the meagre meat and oyster pudding they ate then evolved into a meatier pie. So the more meat, less oyster. Less oyster meant less moisture in the pie, and what better way to add moisture than the newly acclaimed stout called Guinness. So that was in 1759 that Guinness moved from London, the stout moved from London to Dublin. The problem with the oysters over the centuries became simply pollution. People were becoming ill with the oysters. So today, you'll find on the west coast and south coast of Ireland, native oysters are farmed in just the same way as they are here in Brittany. I chose this recipe to connect Brittany and Ireland with the oyster.
Do you like oysters?
I do.
Because there are
not too many.
No, they're a sort of a bit of a Marmite thing, aren't they?
Yes. Love or hate. Love or hate.
I'm in the other camp.
It must be obvious that cooking beef in a pie, you can't cook oysters at the same time because that's simply the time difference required. So the technique, and that's what interests me most about the Irish recipes, is the techniques. The pie would be cooked without the oysters. The crust would then be slit and the oysters tipped in to the beef, into the sauce and the beef and the vegetables, and they'd just on the steam alone, they'd be cooked just perfectly.
Yes. Amazing. And that recipe has come down in your family from...
This is a family favourite, right. Yes. That's on my father's side of the family. On my mother's side of the family, who were poorer, were three basic recipes, the most important one in the family being champ, which is potatoes, scallions, milk, butter, salt and pepper, and optionally beaten raw egg. The potatoes are boiled and mashed. The scallions, especially the green part, as much as possible for the extra colour, it's important. They're heated gently, then beaten into the potatoes, beaten with a wooden spoon. Wooden spoon, very important in an Irish household.
I said not just to whack the kids with.
Yes. It is indeed. Yeah. You only have to threaten an Irish child with a spoon and they'll behave. So the mixture is piled onto each plate and a well made in the centre in which a large knob of butter was placed. You eat your champ from the outside, each by forkful, into the melted butter. Or in my grandfather's case, my grandfather Davy, he would beat a raw egg, beat up an egg and just drop the raw egg into the well, and it's sort of semi-scrambled in the heat from the potato. Others, box tea will be offered almost everywhere in Southern Ireland. It's basically equal amounts of mashed potato and raw potato and plain flour. Equal amounts, depending on a family size. A pinch of bicarbonate of soda and buttermilk, which again connects Ireland with Brittany because, as you know, buttermilk is drunk here every day. Add some salt and pepper to that, and again, a large knob of butter. The technique is that the raw potato is grated as much as possible and the starchy liquid removed. Today you'd use kitchen paper. It was a tea towel in the past. the raw mixed with the cooked, the flour added, and enough buttermilk to form a soft batter. And the batter is melted onto a griddle or a frying pan. I'm using a large spoonful at a time. So it come out like a sort of scony
thing. Almost like a thick crepe.
Yeah.
So again, you're getting connection.
Here it would be called a galette pomme de terre.
Absolutely. Isn't that interesting, the very strong cuisinary...
The connection.
With the food when you just serve the water.
Because it's the availability of food, isn't it? What's grown.
Absolutely.
Particularly at Roscoff Way. And the second one we eat a great deal of is called cannon. Potatoes, green cabbage, mixed together with your milk, your butter, your salt and pepper, and formed into a sort of scone-like, thick scone-like shape. Or not at all, just left in one big dish and you spoon out what you want to eat. The interesting thing about both of the recipes that I've talked about is that they are very easy to cook in advance, which was important to an ancient Irish farming family as it is to a modern housewife today.
That's true, actually. It's something you don't think they go on. How busy people are these days. Well, people have largely in farming backgrounds, particularly, or fishing or whatever, have always been busy.
Exactly.
So involving the whole family. Too.
Often the whole family were needed, so things could be prepared in advance. They'd be left in the range, in the coolest part of the range, which was pretty warm, I imagine. Of course, potatoes are so important to the Irish nation, but it needs to be pointed out, I believe, that the potato blight, which caused the three major famines in Ireland, was actually widespread throughout Europe. It wasn't just Ireland's problem. It existed all over Europe and indeed in North America. Because the blight, which is the same disease that tomatoes get here in Brittany, if you don't grow them undercover, it's the same base. Yes, it was all over Europe, and people were starving in other countries as well. But in Ireland, it was so particularly bad with wet winter after wet winter. They were actually planting into wet ground. To the poor families, there was no alternative because they were growing potatoes as the landlords required, and there was no alternative for them. If you found something other than oysters, the venison was a sort of substitute for beef, which the poorer families couldn't possibly afford. The law was that you had to share, as you did the potatoes. You farmed the potatoes, but most of them went to the landlord, and then subsequently to England. So as much as we like to, you cannot separate the potato, the famine, and the landlords.
So thank you very much, Donna. Just before we go, back to the wooden spoon. Was I right?
Yes. It was always a threat to me and my cousins, but it was withdrawn when my younger brothers came along. It was decided that we shouldn't be hitting our children at all, let alone
with a wooden spoon. Thank you very much, Joan.
Well, thank you, Elaine. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.